We have spent many weeks looking at charismatic errors. I think we've just about come to the end of that. And with us going away just in a few weeks' time, I didn't think it wise to start something fresh and then have a 3 or 4 week hiatus and then come back to it and everybody's scratching their head saying, now, what was it you were talking about last time? So there is not a total disconnect with what I'm briefly going to say this evening. And I have spoken about this relatively recently, but this is not the same as what I've said before. So I want to think about the sources of joy in our lives. When you talk to some people about joy, you get the frivolous ones who say, oh yes, my friend's wife is joy. Of course, that's not what we're talking about. Some people think when you talk about joy, you're thinking of wide-eyed fanatics. I went to a day conference many years ago, and there was a speaker who was caricaturing, I think, strict Baptists, when he said, the Christian life is all about joy. Now you get some people who said, like strict Baptists, and you hear them say, we believe in joy. That's real deep joy, not the frivolous stuff of the world. And you think, that's joy? And I think that was a caricature. But caricatures often come from somewhere. But you get the opposite, where people think that joy is way! And wide eyes, oh, and you think, what's this person high on? What drugs have they taken? And this is especially so when we have been thinking about charismatics, when often you hear them speak about joy in the Holy Spirit. And you get the impression that there's not a lot of difference between what they appear to be speaking about and the occupants of the Stretford End at Old Trafford this afternoon when the fourth goal went in. Because they all threw up their hands and said, way, wonderful! And they were full of joy. Thank you, George. So, is joy uncontrollable laughter? Is it staring wide-eyed and going, ooh? What is it as it's spoken of in the scriptures? And one scripture that should come to everybody's mind is in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. In contrast to the works of the flesh, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But also in Romans chapter 15, we find Paul writing there about joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Now, is joy being spoken of in an irrational sense? Is it, we're all happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time? Are we all full of joy? Because, well, that's what we do and there's no ground to it, there's no basis to it. Perhaps some of you are familiar with this song. I won't even try singing it because I'm not even sure that the words go with the tune that I think I know to it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Isn't that a wonderful song? Did you know it's written by a Unitarian? That might put you off ever singing it again in the rest of your life. How can a Unitarian write something like that? Well, he did. Let's consider some examples of joy. Matthew chapter 2. We might have to skip some references if it starts getting a bit too long for the sake of time, but we'll start with Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, so this is the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. We have seen the star. We know this means the King of the Jews is being born. It's directing us on the way. We've come on this long journey, and we're nearly there. Look, that's where it is. And they were full of joy that at last their quest was going to be fulfilled. They were going to find the very place where the new king was to be born, and indeed to see the infant baby king. So joy, because they had achieved something. They were going to be present at and see a remarkable child. John chapter 16 and verse 20, Jesus makes a contrast between a birth and a resurrection. John chapter 16, verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. This is talking about his death. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Not being a woman, I've never experienced labour, but I believe it is quite painful. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now. They're going to mourn because Jesus will die. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So joy over the fact of the resurrection. Though they're going to be downcast and miserable when he's crucified and they think that's the end, when they discover that he's been raised from the dead, they're full of joy. Luke chapter 15 and verse 7 talks about the joy in heaven. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In heaven, they don't just say, oh, isn't it wonderful? What's wonderful? Well, isn't it wonderful? No, they're full of joy for a reason. Because a sinner has repented and been saved. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Is the wrong reference.
Well, there is great joy in verse 3.
I suspect that is the correct reference. I put a 1 in by mistake. My finger slipped. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. They brought great joy because they said, look about at the success of the gospel. People have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have repented of their sins. They have believed in him and been saved. Wonderful. They're full of joy because of people being saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. These people, whom Paul, as you remember, had only been with for a few weeks, Paul was full of joy because they had repented, they had believed, and they were growing considerably in grace and showing great signs of godliness. This filled Paul with joy. It was because of something that Paul was full of joy. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 21. Jesus is giving the parable of the talents. Remember, this is not talents in the sense that we would understand the word. It's not that God gave the ability to play the guitar, play the organ, play the spoons, play the harmonica, and play the drums to someone. That's not the sense of talent here. A talent was a unit of currency, and that's what's being referred to. Verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey who gave his servants and called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, 5 units of currency, gave him money. To another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went and at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you deliver to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You are going to receive a blessing in heaven as a consequence of your obedience to your master, and that will be joy to you, joy at what you are going to receive. In 3 John, one that we don't refer to very often, but in 3 John, verse 4, some of you, when you're looking this up in an online Bible, might need to put in 3 John chapter 1 verse 4, but that's a bit silly because there is only the one chapter. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John is filled with joy when he hears that his children, whether it be literal or whether it be spiritual children, but to hear that they have repented, that they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are going on with Christ in the faith, becoming more godly day by day. John is filled with joy because they are walking in the truth. There is even joy in the face of persecution. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice, be full of joy in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. If you are doing the right thing, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect to be abused by the world, mistreated by the world. Well, you can rejoice in that because that's exactly how all God's servants in the past were dealt with, and it was evidence that they were being godly people And so they should be full of joy to know that the world hates them because they're being godly. So they're rejoicing in what God has done for them and what God is doing in them. There is a reason for this. We'll skip over Acts 13:52 for the sake of time and turn to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." As I was saying this morning, about all things working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, we know that God is working upon us for our good. And whatever comes our way is for our good. Whatever comes our way might be unpleasant, but God is taking us through such things for our good. And so when unpleasant things happen, we can say to God, "Thank you, I don't like this, but I know this is for my good, and so I can rejoice in it. It is a cause of joy, because I know that God is working in and through this unpleasant circumstance." So there's just a few references. There's a lot more we could consider concerning the subject of joy and the causes of joy. There are numerous. We can think of things in the present day. What causes us joy? My nephew yesterday attended a wedding, and I think the wedding was a time of great joy. Two people coming together and joining in marriage, dedicating themselves to one another, we hope for life, and it's a cause of great joy. People went along, and were you to look at the photographs, you would see lots of happy, smiling faces. They are full of joy. We've already seen childbirth. We looked specifically at the birth of the Lord Jesus, but childbirth in general is a cause of joy. We might look back sometimes, particularly when a child is being naughty, you think, "Oh, I remember when you were born, and it was such a happy day. I was so full of joy. Why can't you behave better now?" And I think we've all been through that experience, that sometimes our parents despair at us, but when they think back and they think more carefully about us, not just the birth, but all the time since, it is a cause of joy in our hearts as we think about our children. Some recently have had some exam successes, or not such successes. I don't know if you were hearing in the last few days, they've announced a new scoring system for GCSEs. And it's going to be numbers instead of letters, and it's going to go from 1 to 9, and 9 is going to be the top grade. So I am very pleased to tell you that when I took my O-level French, I got a grade 9. And I got a 1 in chemistry. Well, of course, I passed chemistry with flying colours, and I failed French miserably. The one in chemistry was a cause of great joy, as actually was the 9 in French, because I said, "Look, I'm no good at French, I can't see the point of taking the exam." And they forced me to take it, and so when the result came out, I said, "See, told you so, waste of time." Exam results can be a cause of joy. Not just exam results, but all sorts of tests that we might have to take, like driving tests. When we pass, whoa, what a cause of joy. And sometimes you see people tearing up their L plates as an expression of their joy that they have passed. But for Christians, the most important cause of joy is salvation. It is knowing that our sins have been forgiven. And so when we are down in the dumps, when we're feeling depressed, when we're miserable, things aren't going well, the world we know is against us, but everything else seems to be against us as well. What we should do is to think of sources of joy. Not singing joy, 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 joy down in my heart, and just going through some kind of mantra to work ourselves up into joy, but rather think about what the scriptures teach. We read this morning from Romans chapter 5. Here is something that should fill us with joy as we meditate upon what Paul says. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God has promised something to those who believe. God has promised that we will share his glory in eternity. Wow! But Paul doesn't stop there. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We do? How's that? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God loves us. Do we never feel God wrapping his arms around us and, if you like, giving us a cuddle and giving us assurance and confidence? But Paul goes on, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for us, the ungodly. But one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Paul's saying, remember what you were. Remember how you stood before God. Remember that you were enemies. But now God has sent his Son. God has come to you. You have put your trust in Christ. You're not an enemy anymore. You're God's friend. Indeed, you're God's child, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just that you have ceased to be an enemy, but now you're just a common riffraff subject of God. We're God's child, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however miserable we might be, this should be a cause of great joy. As you think about these things, as life gets hard, remember what you were, remember what God's done for you, remember how God has dealt with you. And it's not because you're worth it, it's because you're not worth it. You do not deserve anything that you have received from God, but God has been good to us in spite of the fact that we are, or we were, his enemies, in spite of the fact we were sinners. God has done these wonderful things for us. Indeed, in 1 Thessalonians, again, chapter 1, Paul tells us to think on this, how in verse 9, they report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There is a judgment to come. All the world will be raised before God and have to give an account of what they have done with the lives that God has given to them. But those who have believed in the Lord Jesus are delivered from the wrath to come. We have no fear of the judgment to come because of what Jesus has done. And this world is but fleeting compared to eternity that is to come. Now, some people say that Christians are arrogant to think in this way, but it's not in the slightest bit arrogant, because we're not saying this is because we are worth it. It's not saying because we are special. We are saying that God is wonderful, God is kind, God is gracious, and why on earth is God kind to us? We don't deserve any of these blessings, but God has chosen to shower these things upon us, not because we deserve it, but because he is gracious and merciful and loving and kind. And we know these blessings because God is kind to us who are undeserving. So we should know in our hearts the joy of the Lord, not one that is stirred up by just singing happy songs. We can all sing mindless songs. We can all get into a certain mood. If you look at football crowds, if you look at crowds at, the last night of the Proms, they were full of joy. But joy about what? They were singing what they would say are happy songs. It's great fun to sing Land of Hope and Glory over and over again. It's a nice tune. It's nice to be with other people. Some people enjoy waving flags around and setting off party poppers. These things are fun. But what is that joy compared to the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven? And this is what God gives to those who believe, even in the most difficult of circumstances. So here we are, in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Do we know the joy of the Lord? Not a manufactured joy, but a joy that comes from within, from knowing what God has done. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should know the joy of salvation. Joy because there is something better yet to come. Joy in knowing that eventually when we stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment, he will say to us, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." Let's be sure that we have this sort of joy in our hearts and not one that is manufactured by silly songs, not manufactured by being excited about football matches, but excited and joyful because of what God has done in Christ for our souls. So, any questions or comments?